Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name is Chris.
And I'm Matt Rice, and I'm finally back. I'm so happy to be here with you guys. We're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to share whatever wisdom we have and talk about the things that Catholic dads need to talk about and raise saints together.
We believe that Catholic fatherhood will change the world. So let's dive in. Today, what we're talking about is angry dad. If you've ever been angry as a father, what does that look like? Or as a husband, just that whole being the head of a household and the keeper of your castle and things like that. And there's times where sometimes we bubble up. And
I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. I never get angry. Have you seen my Instagram feed? I mean, everything's perfect. I never get angry with my kids. I never get angry with my wife. There's no fighting. That's what a good Christian household looks like, right?
Right. So first of all, I'm proud of you because you said Instagram, because I don't think you even know what that means.
No, I'm not even on it.
Exactly. So one thing is the idea that there's like a split or a disconnect between who we are and who we want to be, or how we behave versus how we want to be. In other words, there's a piece that why good men are bad to their families. And that's from fatherly.com. And that really spoke to me because I feel like I'm a good man, but sometimes I'm mean to my kids. I'm mean to my wife. And that usually is triggered by anger. Do you see?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, absolutely. Yes. And so just to like go back to kind of the joke that I made earlier, it's absolutely normal for us to lose our tempers ever so often. It's what we do with that, you know, after the fact that, you know, that really matters, you know, and the hope is that it decreases, that we get better and better about being able to control that. But if you're a dad who gets angry, don't beat yourself up. It happens, you know, and Chris has gotten angry. I've gotten angry. Even some of the best, most saintly dads that I know have gotten angry. So yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I just want to say that first.
So let's talk about the source of anger. I honestly think that there is a piece of like wholesomeness in anger. Now, this is Jesus flipping the tables, right? Even Jesus got angry, but his was righteous. But like when my kids are talking back to my wife, I get angry.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's a bad thing. When my children do something that would lead to their harm or destruction of my castle, like my house or something like that, I get angry. Sure. But the root of that comes from me wanting to be protector and provider. I want to provide a good home. I want to protect them from getting hurt, right?
Yep.
How I deal with that anger is problematic at times, like 99 out of 100 times at times. So we were camping. We just got back from a huge family vacation, 15 days, and we started out camping. Well, setting up your castle or your domain is tent camping, and taking those things down is a bit of a pain as well. So we're there, we're packing things up, and I'm getting things organized in the tent, rolling up sleeping bags, putting things back where they go, because I've got to play Jenga in the back of the van to be able to fit everything back in. I guess maybe
Tetris. Hold on. That's not the right analogy. Tetris. You're not playing Jenga to put it back in the van.
Tetris.
That would be the worst way to pack.
Don't speed up too fast. The whole thing's going to fall over. You're right. Okay. So Tetris, to fit it back in. And my son wants to help. He's trying to be helpful. So all of a sudden, I'm doing stuff and the whole flipping tent just crashes down upon me. Right? Because he was trying to undo some things and help me pack up, and he just destroyed the tent that I was in, and I did not keep my cool about it. because I had asked him to do some other things, and he didn't do that. He wanted to help take down the tent. I was in the tent. There was a lot of stuff in the tent. I tried to go.
It wasn't time for that to happen.
I tried to go put the tent back up, but the way he took it down and the way that it goes up, we're not conducive with each other. So now half the tent is going to remain down and I've just got to deal with it. I lost my cool. So I was like, this stuff has to get out of the tent. Let's get it out of the tent. And I opened up the tent and just started throwing stuff out of the tent. Boom, 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 boom. And it destroyed it. And my wife comes in, and rightfully so. She goes, Chris, you need to calm it down. You're going to scar the children. And I'm like, oh, I do need to take a minute, you know? And she wasn't wrong. And I did. No. I apologized and we reconciled. And then I apologized to the family as a whole, because it didn't just create tension. Like My daughter was in there in the tent when this happened, and she was like annoyed by the fact that the tent was falling on her. But when I started losing my, you know what, she looked at me like with this weird, like, who is this? And then just left the tent. She's like, I'm not dealing with this guy. She just walked out of the tent. So I think that was the most wisdom in that scenario came from my daughter, who was like, I'm out of here. You know,
you're not who I know you to be,
but
I'm out.
But who I want to be, who I desire to be, isn't the dad that loses his mind on his kids like that. Like that was, I'm usually at like a 3 or a 4, and it, maybe I could have turned up to a 5 or a 6, but to go all the way to like a 12, like in an instant,
yep.
that was not okay. And I was creating more work by throwing stuff because it was getting dirty and stuff like that. I was just like,
oh yeah.
I was throwing a temper tantrum as a man in his mid-40s. It was not okay. Now, my question to you, Matt, is there anything about that story that you can relate to?
Oh, every single bit of it. Like, absolutely. You know, something like working hard to do what needs to be done. Someone in the family, you know, messes it up or messes up the way I want it to go. And then I make the whole situation worse. Both for me and for them, you know? Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Okay. So I just want to make sure I'm not alone in regards to this. Cause sometimes when I get mad, I feel like I'm a monster because every other dad, you know, that you see on Instagram or whatever it is, you see the front of the store, not the back of the store. And this was definitely a back of the store moment. And one other story is I was talking to my neighbor and I just spanked my kid, and my kid did something that merited a little bit of a consequence. And so, I spanked him, but then I went and I sat with my buddy and I was like, that was not right. He's like, what happened? I was like, I spanked my kid. And he goes, well, that's okay. I said, no, like I was angry. It felt really good to cause punishment to my kid, and my hand hurt. So I can only imagine how my child feels, you know, like it was over the line. And I don't know where you land in spanking, but excessive spanking is not something that I want to do as a husband and a father, you know? And so,
yeah.
I don't know why I said other husband in there. That was weird, but just
moving on.
So, yes.
The other night, rarely do I play video games, but my oldest is going off to college, and I wanted to finish this story quest that he and I had started. You know, so we're playing a video game to finish the main, you know, storyline, and you know, we're up probably until midnight or so. My wife's exhausted. You know, she's tired. She went to bed around 10 or so, but the girls who went to bed around that time as well had gone into her room and woken her up like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And finally, Wesley just calls me. And so over my headset, my phone starts ringing. I'm like, what's going on? And it's Wesley. And so I get on. She's like, can you discipline the girls? And so I put everything down. And so I'm upset because my game time with my son got interrupted. I'm upset because my wife has been woken up multiple times. And so I go up into the room and I just spank the first bottom I see, you know, and I swat Gianna. And then I start fussing at the girls for going in and waking mom up. And one of the girls goes, well, why'd you spank her? I was like,
uh-oh.
Did she not go wake up mom? She's like, no. Dang it. You know, like I just spanked an innocent child, you know? It's like, I felt so awful, you know, when that happened. But yeah, you know, it's... sometimes when we have that lens of anger, we don't exactly think clearly or rationally. We just start throwing stuff or swatting stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's not right.
And I've been there where the kids have been playing with a ball and they get in a fight over whose ball it is or whatever toy it is. I just take the toy. I'm like, I didn't address the situation.
Have you
ever destroyed the toy? Oh, I threw one over the fence like within the last 7 days. And I think people are starting to realize that we're monsters. Like this is a very vulnerable thing, but I mean, it's a toy in the pool where they just keep squirting people in the eye and it instantly leads to someone crying. I've already said we don't want those in our pool, and they find their way into our pool. I don't know if the neighbors bring them over, if they just kind of grow, but I ended up taking it to throw it out of the pool, but I was angry just to throw it over the pool fence. And I ended up launching it out of our backyard into someone else's yard. I was like, enough of this. It's probably still flying, you know? And but the issue wasn't that that the ball is not the issue. The ball did not cause. It's that they're not being able to work together. But yeah. Instead, I remove the thing. And so they never have a chance to actually learn from the moment, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe there's a teaching moment when the wrong kid gets spanked to be like, if we're going to do something dumb, let's at least resolve it on our own so that the spank machine just doesn't come and hit everyone in the city, you know?
Yeah, I wonder how guilty my daughter felt by that happening. I mean, it wasn't her that did it, you know, but like they caused me to have to come up there because they didn't like, yeah. And so then that was one of the results, you know, of that, you know, but
right.
It's not her fault. I don't want her to have any of that, but I do. Yeah. There's something of that, that I'm sure that she feels a little ownership on, you know?
So there's an old quote that goes, it's better to be loved than feared. But if you can't be loved, at least be feared. And it's this idea of control. And so on a spiritual level, that's one of the elements that the Lord has been working through me is the spirit of control, like my will, not thy will type of thing. And it happens in the family all the time. I can't tell you how many arguments my wife and I have gotten over on how to load the dishes or clean the dishes or whatever, because there's the right way and then not Chris's way. Those are the two things in my mind, you know, like, why are we doing it this way? Like, don't load knives facing up. Like, that is a thing that I feel like is a fair argument to have. But there's other things that I'm like, why is this my hill to die on? Like, I'm being dumb. But at the same time, having that sense of control gives me on a deeper level, a sense of security, which allows me in my mind to better lead and guide my family, which is my charge. That's my job. And so there's a tension there, and anger can come in and just stranglehold a situation very quickly. And everyone's like, okay, yes, sir, because we're afraid. But that's not the spirit that I want in my family. And so letting go and releasing control, because ultimately, I was at a family camp, and one of the prayer pieces that God gave me is he wants me to be a channel, right? And so if you imagine like a big pipe, like imagine, you know, like a 3-inch or a 3-foot pipe or whatever, and inside that I'm putting all of my things, but God's love wants to flow freely through that. And so anything that I put in there that's of me, that's mine, puts like filters in a negative way, filters out the Father's love and puts my love, or at least decreases the flow of the Father's love. And so that idea, and I think anger is something that definitely clogs that pipe at times. Releasing control is very difficult.
As you were talking, you know, it started like at the beginning of what you were saying, like I just get, every so often I get amazed at what this vocation does for us if we pay attention, you know, as far as our growth in the Christian life, our like, our pathway to heaven, that if we pay attention to what God's doing in us and to our emotions, our feelings, and how we treat our family, we should like never stop growing, you know, as fathers, never stop learning and never stop, I don't know, understanding more of the Father's heart. One of the, like when you were talking, like one of the things that has been, you know, something that God's been working on me like for 6 months, you know, was like, I was just shown like how, like I have this critical spirit, you know, about me. I look at things and find what they are doing wrong.
Right.
And it happens in my job, in the ministry here at Ablaze. But it happens in my family, and I correct and I criticize almost every little thing that people do. And that's not good, you know, because it's like you said, it's not, it's just not my way. You know, and so they're doing it wrong.
Right.
And so it's, there's been a lot over the last 6 months where that's been tempered, and I'm noticing things like that and just letting some of that little stuff go, because it really is just little stuff. It's just amazing what this, like this vocation can do to help us. And we're focusing on anger on this particular episode, but there's so many other virtues, that are, grown in this, or vices that are decreased, you know, in this vocation, if we pay attention and if we listen and if we take it to prayer.
And it's a weird privileged place that our families find themselves in. And I say this because Doug Johnson in our last series kind of mentioned this, but like, I would never, if I was frustrated with a coworker, lose my mind to where I was throwing stuff, right?
Nope.
But if I'm frustrated with one of my children, that literally happened 2 weeks ago. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, why do we feel
you
like
say
it's
privileged?
Okay?
And I knew exactly what you were talking about. And I'm like, that is the wrong word.
That is the wrong word. But no one else sees that side of us but our family. Yeah. And it's like, if I'm going to be a jerk or if I'm going to crap on someone or something, I do it at home.
Yeah,
I'm
why
not
is
saying,
it my family?
Yeah. I'm not saying we should go to work and have this behavior. But like, these are coworkers. These are neighbors. These are people at the grocery store, because there's drivers on the road that are bigger idiots than my kids are at times, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't go lose it on them. And so why is our family the ones that we are called to protect and love with the most sacrificial love? Why are they the first ones in line when we,
that may be like, honestly, I would love to dive into that on another episode. So for those of you that are watching, one, if you're still watching, we're 17 minutes in, like this video. You're still here. You like it. Hit the button. But I want to have maybe even a psychologist or a psychiatrist or someone on
to
who knows the
that.
Answer to that question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because there's an answer to that question as far as why psychologically we feel like it's okay to let the worst version of ourselves out to the people that are closest to us.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, and I think we, you know, we do the same thing with our friends, you know, to a lesser degree. It's funny because like, this is a random story. I don't know why it came to mind, but I was in college on the way to a Pearl Jam concert, and I had my high school friend Dwayne in the truck with me, and my college friend Dustin in the car with me. And then there was I saw a slug bug, and I punched Dwayne, and Dwayne was like, "Man, why didn't you punch Dustin?" And I was like, "Well, I only punch my friends, or I only punch my close friends." You know, or whatever. And it was like, it was a very weird, awkward moment, you know, because it was a new friend versus an old friend. And so there's more comfort with Dwayne,
right,
to inflict pain on him.
Yes.
Rather than on Dustin. And so there's something there, like psychologically, where it's like, it's okay to hurt people that aren't going to run away. I don't know why that makes sense, you know.
If there's two people in a truck and you have to hurt one of them, you hurt the one that you're closest with. That's weird and kind of messed up. Yeah, I think that's true. We should get someone smarter than us to unpack that.
Yeah. So if you guys know anybody, please like tag them in this or comment on this or shoot me an email, matt@ablaze.us, just to connect me with someone, because we'd love to answer that question. You know, because we as fathers, we want to know that answer, because like, if we know the answer, then we can find a solution. And that's kind of what dads tend to do, is we like to try to find solutions to problems. And in this case, we're the problem. So
our anger is the problem. Yeah,
true,
yeah.
That's true.
So, and I think that's an important piece, is you are not a bad dad if you get angry,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
But you could become a better dad if you could deal or manage your anger better, right? And yeah. I hate the kind of analogy of anger management, almost like it's going to exist in us, and then we just have to kind of control or cage the beast. I really don't like that. I feel like God, fully alive in us, actually puts to where there's no beast in us anymore. But nevertheless, we have to fortify ourselves against that reality. So what are some ways to deal with anger as a dad? Sorry.
Real quick, just another comment on that, what you were just saying, is the cage the beast thing. I really like the terminology and the analogy of being meek, because that's not about being weak. And there was a I forget where I saw this or heard this, but when you meek a horse, you basically make the horse actually usable, because you've trained them how to use their strength in a certain way. And so that's like, as fathers, like being meek is not about being weak. It's about using our strength in the correct ways, so that our strength and our power is usable. And so that's just something to think about. Rather than caging the beast, I want to be meek.
Yes, it's an ordered stewardship.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And you may have a whole list from a website, but as we were talking about what to do, you know, in response to this anger, I would say the very first thing is, when you get angry, you start apologizing. Because there's something about, I don't know, the masculine heart that hates to say they're sorry. And so when we say, I'm sorry, it will cause us to like, I don't know if this is a psychology thing or whatever. I feel like it would cause us to do that action less because we had to say sorry,
right?
Because we did that action.
Right.
You know, so number one, just start apologizing. You know, when you do something like this, when you act out of anger, apologize, you know, ask for forgiveness, like literally say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. Will you forgive me? And have them say those words back if they mean them, you know, right. At the time. Yes, Dad, I forgive you, you know, yeah. Or yes, husband, I forgive you. Yeah.
I think that the course correction of anger is the grace that can come from it, right? Of dealing with anger wrong, right? To be able to show your kids like, Daddy makes mistakes. I am sorry. I am forgivable and you're forgivable. Like that tells them that. And then they learn to apologize and kind of work with it. So it creates a model. So if anger kind of overspills, then that is the best way to clean it up. It does create a neat method or paradigm for the kids to learn from. The other piece that I see is to pregame it. So I found myself at bedtime getting angry with my kids. Again, it was the spirit of control. Just get your freaking jammies on. I don't know why they try and put every limb through the same hole in the shirt. And it's like, no.
Every time.
Yeah,
every time.
I can't get it on, Dad. My tooth won't get brushed, Dad. I'm just like, oh, and then whatever, the sprinkles on the seat. Like, can we please just learn? Anyways, but at the end of it, to communicate, hey, guys, we have 10 minutes. This is what needs to be accomplished. And along the way, I'm going to let you guys know if this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen. And then offer consequences like no story or something along those lines, as opposed to Dad's just going to get angrier and angrier and angrier, and you're going to get more and more scared until you go and cry yourself to sleep. Like, that's not the dad that I want to be. Those aren't the kids I want to have. And so to communicate and to, in healthy ways, hold accountable to what was said, but to get to buy-in, do you think 10 minutes is enough time or do you need more time? I bet you could do it in 9, but I'll give you 10. It's like, Dad, I could do it in 6 minutes. No, I actually want you to brush your teeth, right? But some of those things, and all of a sudden you get some buy-in from the kids. And so that communication is something that I could grow in regards to it, especially like on the family trip. I should have been like, this is what I expect with cleanup, you know?
Yeah, I've had conversations with that with my kids is like, hey guys, I tend to lose my temper with y'all around this area. Let's talk about how we can, you know, change, you know, that dynamic. And make it so it's less likely that I'm going to lose my temper. Now, it's not all on you guys. And, you know, I've got stuff that I need to work on or whatever. I need to have more patience. But, you know, these are the things that really, you know, bother me and lead to that. You know, can y'all help me with that? You know, or stuff like that. So having a conversation with the kids. And again, that helps your kids, like, learn that Daddy's trying to grow as well. You know, that he's trying to grow in you know, his fatherhood and as a man and as a son of God. So that teaches them that they can do the same thing and they should do the same thing when they get older. When they make mistakes, they should ask for help and they should have conversations about it. So just being a good example around stuff like that is good, and it's good for us.
The next one is use your teammate. And so your wife, your spouse is your teammate. And at times it makes sense to, if you can't calm down, you tap out. And so my wife will see that as things are getting cleaned up from dinner that tensions are rising, and she goes, you know what, Chris, I'm going to put the kids to bed. Why don't you stay down here with the kitchen? And then I'll put on some 90s rock and clean the kitchen like a champ. But it'll work it out of my system to where I'm taking my anger out on the spot on the dish instead of the child. So
when I'm in those situations, it doesn't help me to have my wife step in. And that's part of the anger thing here. And I don't know if other dads out there have the same issue. And maybe it's a pride thing. It's like, no, I've got to finish this. You know, I've got to, you know, I said this, they didn't do this. Now I've lost my crap. I've got to, you know, set the law. I've got to, you know, I don't know, finish this lesson, you know, that I'm going to teach my kids.
Yep.
You know, and so when my wife suggests something, it makes the situation worse, you know, more often than not, you know? And so there, that may be a conversation, you know, with my wife is like how to do it, or just me, you know, just being open to help, you know, but
I think once the anger train has arrived, it's hard. Like you're like, I got to finish this. I got to see this through. Don't worry. I'll dig my way right out of this grave. And you're like, I don't think so. But if you can see it starting to bubble and it's like, I'm going to have trouble calming down. So if you can't calm down, if you still have the wherewithal to be able to say, let's trade. Why don't I put the baby to bed and you can deal with the monster toddler, you know, or whatever it is. So, but that's a good point.
That takes some serious humility to be able to do that, you know, so that's something to pray for, you know, and to hope for, you know, as we grow.
One piece that I thought was fascinating was the amount of sleep that someone gets affects how long their fuse is. And yeah. I think that dads are typically the last ones to bed, and they shouldn't be the last ones up in the morning. They're usually one of the first two people up in the morning. And I think it's worth noting that sometimes we might want to look at our sleep schedule, our pattern of sleep. There's this weird guilt that exists as a provider in me sometimes to where it's like, I don't feel like I accomplished something significant today. So I'm going to stay up a little bit later reading this book or even watching this show, because then I can at least say I finished something. I accomplished something.
Playing this video game.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like I had to conquer something. Quest. Yeah, like I had to accomplish something. And so I did it in a digital world that actually doesn't impact or help my family at all. And now I'm tired the next day. But so to look at the sleep that you're getting, and it's okay to take a minute to just step away. I cannot take long naps. I've taken naps for a little while, but it's like 15 minutes is all I need for a nap to kind of recharge. But when I'm angry, I cannot. It's like, I've got to be like, and so the anger has to dissipate. So if I get mad at my kids at like 9 o'clock at night, I cannot fall asleep within the next 2 hours.
Wow.
So you can imagine if my wife and I have a little tiff before she falls happily asleep, I'm up until one being like, okay, whatever, you know? So anyway, so sleep is a factor to consider. I've got one or two more tips, Matt, before I go into it. Do you have any more tips that you'd want to share?
Go for it. I'm sure others will come up, you know,
for it. And there's plenty. You can Google it and different things like that. But the other thing is to pause in the situation. Give yourself 6 seconds of silence, right? And honestly, if you've been angry dad before, that could be the healthiest 6 seconds of silence, because the kids are like, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, the only thing worse than dad yelling is when dad's quiet, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you should leverage it, but know that in the minds and hearts of your children, they're recognizing that you're taking something very seriously and something into consideration. Those six seconds should be able to calm you down and help you see a better perspective. Because when I'm angry, when we're angry, oftentimes we get tunnel vision. And that tunnel vision is oftentimes led by a raging bull, and we don't want that.
Are you going to quote Daniel Tiger to us here? When you feel so mad that you want to roar. I don't know if I'm allowed to finish the rest of that sentence without, you know, getting in trouble.
Then pause yourself and count to quattro. We dodged that bullet. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. So that's a throwback from Catholic Dad Show early episodes. And last but not least is you're not in it alone. So don't go at it alone. And I think the most important piece is as a baptized member of the Catholic faith, as a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit with you, right? Yep. And to allow the Holy Spirit to stir within you, because the Holy Spirit restores, heals, calms, and comforts. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And when you're about to get angry, or when you are angry, you are experiencing discomfort. And so invite the Holy Spirit as Comforter in there. And even if you just have to say, I don't know how to deal with this right now, I need to take a moment to go pray, and I'll come back and address it. Like, what's another 2-3 minutes later in bedtime? Or obviously, if your kid's running into the street or flailing in a pond, you've got to act, right? But there's other moments where it's like, another 2 or 3 minutes before I address this is okay. I'm going to go turn to the Lord and ask for guidance in that area. So, okay.
Awesome. You guys, I'm sure there are other dads out there that have wisdom with regards to how they dealt with anger. Comment below, like share your advice here, or like I don't know, maybe argue with some of ours.
But the key thing is, you're not weird if you get angry as a dad. That's actually very normal. How we deal with the anger, I think, defines us and helps build character in our children. So we got to remember, meek is not weak. Communicate, count to four, and invite the Holy Spirit in. You guys,
what we didn't talk about was bottling it up and just holding it in. and not doing anything about the situation, probably not good either. But
oh yeah,
we don't have time for that on this episode.
Bottle up and then go isolate yourself and drink alcohol or view pornography or watch violence or
that's not good.
That all that is not good. But actually a healthy practice that I didn't mention is healthy exercise and healthy outlets.
Oh yeah.
For that, because that anger is ultimately energy that you can burn in healthy ways. And so look at that as well in regards to your regimen. Regular exercise actually helps. Regular sleep and exercise helps the angry dad become the good father he desires to be. So you guys, we are just grateful.
One last, sorry, Chris, I know, go ahead. Like right when you're about to close this, I talk again, but one last statement on that whole bottling it up. Like there's just a leadership principle that's well known, you know, if you don't work it out, you're going to act it out.
Oh.
And so that may also be one of those things that is leading to more anger, is that you haven't addressed something that needs to be addressed.
Amen.
Because you're going to act it out, you know, so don't, you know, let this stuff just stew, you know, and stay there, like have good, healthy conversations about it when you have the mental capacity to do so, not when you're angry.
Yeah. Best decisions are not made when things are flying out of the tent. I learned that just a few weeks ago. You guys, thank you so much for joining us. Again, we believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world. We want to journey with you. So feel free to email us, matt@ablaze.us, chris@ablaze.us, with thoughts, ideas, or even to start a dialogue. We'd love to journey with you in a real way. Also, share this, like this, all the things. Post this video on your social media because there's other dads. Maybe not tag them. Hey, you're an angry dad. Like, hey, actual father, I wish you would have seen this when you were my age. Like things like that, maybe be prudent about it. But let's get more people to the table because, again, we're going to change the world in the way that we lean into this gift of fatherhood we've been blessed with.
Amen.
Amen. Peace.